You're listening to Within Our Reach, a podcast by Reachability Association that focuses on accessibility, inclusion, and leveling the playing field at work and in your community. My name is Blake Hunsley, and my co-host is Shelley Allward-McLeod, and today we're joined by local advocate and activist Milena Kazanavicius to talk about how we can be better allies to the blind and partially sighted community. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Milena, thank you so much for being on. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, thank you for having me. As I sit here and smile and grin like a Cheshire cat.
It's a beautiful smile for those who are listening.
So my name is Milena Kazanavicius. I'm completely blind. I've been blind 30 years now. I'm 53, happy to be so. I'm told I've got gray hair on my head. I have past shoulder length, dark brownish gray hair, big brown eyes. And they're fake, so I pop them out at Halloween when my brother and his husband come home, just for the fun of it. And let me see, what else about myself? I'm originally from Lithuania, moved to Canada in 79. I travel around with my fourth guide dog named Hope. And it's been an interesting journey of 30 years of living with sight loss. Mm-hmm. And I'm all over the place. I believe HRM... many of the staff don't like me any longer.
Well, if I can give my two cents on that, you're not a quiet retiring type, which I enjoy about you a lot. So I'm excited about this podcast. I've been fortunate to know you for a couple of years now, and you've had lots to say in that time. But I have to say the reason that this was the topic for today's episode was actually the very first Jane's Walk that I went on with you, where you were having people go in blindfolded pairs. One of the first things you mentioned was to speak up if any one of the sighted people on the tour saw something like a sign that had been put at shoulder height that somebody was going to crash into, things like that. The very next day, I was out in front of my house and two little kids came by, and there's a fire hydrant in front of my house that has one of those big metal poles on top with a little stop sign so that the fire department knows where to come. Yep. And the kids thought it was hilarious to take this big 3-foot metal pole on the top of it, and it's hinged and you can push it down so it blocks the sidewalk. And they thought that was hilarious, and they were jumping back and forth over it and then went on their merry way and left it down. And I honestly like to think I would have mentioned something to them the day before
about that. Blake is talking, my face right now is going, ah.
Uh-huh. And yes. you better believe that I very politely went and said to them, hi, can you please not do that? If somebody was blind, they would crash right into that metal bar right at knee height. And they hadn't thought about it. It's a small thing in the moment, but I hate to think that I might not have thought about that the day before. But because we'd had that conversation, it's an extremely minor way someone can be an ally, but it's the kind of thing that I think too many people don't think about. So I'm very curious, in little ways and big, how people, both people who are sighted and people who are not, how we can be better allies to people who are partially sighted or blind.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm glad that you did what you did. And I will correct you that what you did was actually a big thing, because somebody walking into a bent metal pole who mm-hmm. can't see, can cut their lip, cut their nose, injure an eye, no pun intended, right? Whether your eyes are fake or real or whatever, you can get an infection and end up in hospital. So what you did was actually a big thing in a small way, and also a form of educating the young ones, right? Because the young ones are I have found over the years, the most spongy, spongy kind of resource to go to, because you can tell the little kids, and I do a lot of school presentations, and they get it, or they get it to their best ability. I can talk to adults over and over and over, and I have done so, and it's one in one ear, whatever happens in the brain, and out the other, right? And so it's like, it's almost like forget. But things as such as you mentioned, you know, low-hanging tree limbs on a sidewalk. Talk to the neighbor. Let them know. Look, how somebody who can't see going to get past that? And, you know, they're going to lock their face off or whatever the case may be. And just on that topic alone, you know, I have had many of colleagues, acquaintances, friends who are blind and partially sighted cut their foreheads open, damage their cheeks because of construction signs. Mm-hmm. We won't talk about that because...
We'd be on construction for a day.
I'm going to be in therapy really soon about that, yeah? And, you know, or again, just the mentioning of tree limbs and branches and rose thorns, bushes. You know, I was walking one summer and there was this hedge of really pretty smelling roses and didn't really think it was there. And while my guide dog... at the present, tried to walk me around it. It was impossible, and I ended up scratching up my arm, you know. So that was joy, a lot of joy. Anyway, what was your question?
Honestly.
That was a great response. I love the idea of the kids, I think. They are spongy because they don't know any better. Like they're still in learning mode. As adults, they've built habits, good or bad, okay?
Yep.
And many of the things that they do, it's hard for change at that point because they're just so used to walking down, let's say, a sidewalk, and they just navigate their way down. They're not thinking about anybody else, right?
So I really would like to, you know, continue up, you know, this avenue discussion on what are some things that people could be doing and things that we shouldn't be doing on the flip side of that.
Mm.
Okay. Well, I've just come from one presentation into doing this podcast.
Nice.
Smiling again. And I was doing a presentation to new bus drivers for HRM Halifax Transit. And I've been doing this for about 17 years. And one of the things I talked about the new drivers, not only, you know, how to assist passengers who are blind and are partially sighted when they're riding Halifax Transit, but also we just go through different things such as technology and the benefits of technology or the barriers of technology right now. And I'm getting to my point. So number one, you know, a lot of buildings right now that are going up, affordable housing, not, okay? They have touchscreen entrance systems, right? 350 units, no voiceover, no tactile button, nothing. So Shelley, if I was to come visit you, you're in one of these condos, or Blake, you know, I have to swipe the entire screen, 350 units answer, hello, 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 because, right? Because I don't know. It doesn't talk
exactly
to me. You see it. We can do it, right? It's not a lot of money for the developer to install right alongside a tactile touchpad. Obviously, I'd have to know, you know, your code so you can buzz me up, or to put a text to voice. So as I'm swiping, just like it happens on the iPhones, right, that it would be talking to me so I can enter. What you can do as an advocate there, every building you go into and you notice is, track down the manager and say, hey, how is somebody who's blind or partially sighted going to get in here when there's nothing, right? Likewise with a lot of debit machines. So I'm at a bar or a pub. A bar. I don't go to a bar. No, I'm holy. Never mind that.
Lies.
Right? And so, and there are the machines these days, again, a flat touch screen. There's nothing there for me to recognize where there's the five to punch in my PIN because I choose to not to have tap on my card, as we all should have the right to do so, right? So I push in my PIN. And if I can't tell where the five is because it's a touch screen, then I am subjected to giving my PIN to the server and then trusting that they're actually telling me what they're telling me, right? I was at a pub at one point, and that server put in the tip without asking me whether I wanted to put in the tip. Now, I was going to give them a tip regardless, but I was going to give it in cash because that's my way. And this person just put in the tip on their own and proceeded to do what they did. And I said, I gave myself a tip, right? So, and I was quite angry. I was diplomatic.
I don't blame you.
Right? And I said, in the future, don't do that. And don't bring me this machine because there's no way for me to tell what is actually on the screen and what I've done. So, Shelley, Blake, everybody else, you know, you're somewhere, again, be kind, be nice. You're not living it like I am. Potentially, I'm allowed to get angry. But ask the people, when it comes to technology and things, how is a person who can't see going to use this mechanism in your business? Because we spend money. Some of us spend a lot of money at a bar. Not really.
You don't have to give away those secrets to here today.
Listen, right? I've been to a bar with you. It's not that big of a secret.
That's because you were buying. It was okay.
Sure.
Exactly.
I have a question. I do actually have a question on that. So let's say I'm sitting at another table, but I'm witnessing what you just talked about happen, right? And how would you feel if I was to interject to give assistance? Should I be asking you if you want assistance? Should I be giving assistance to the server as to what maybe they should be thinking about?
That's a good question. In a situation like at a restaurant, a bar, I would say would be a little bit awkward. Okay. I'll backtrack a little bit. So if you see a person with a white cane, a white mobility cane, or a white ID cane, which identifies they have some sight loss, it's a smaller white cane, or a guide dog, okay, guide dog, harness, handle, not a vest, not on a leash.
The rigid harness is what people are looking for, right?
The ridge in the harness, generally a U-shaped handle that a person who's blind or partially sighted. I have to put that in there. Don't cut me out of that one, okay? When we're at an intersection on the road, you come up, ask if the person needs assistance. Don't grab the dog. Don't grab the cane. Don't grab the person. Probably like me, they've taken self-defense. You're going to get hit.
Right, exactly.
We can't see you. We don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely great recommendation.
Right, in a restaurant, in a grocery store, something like that, you can ask if the person needs assistance. If you witness something, let's say mischievous, going on by the server or cashier, then feel free to ask that person who's serving the person who's blind or partially sighted. Because obviously I wouldn't have known. Mm. Right?
Right.
I wouldn't have known had I not been paying attention. And I pay attention to what happens with my money. You should see how many of my friends who are sighted who go out and shop. And I'm like, how much did you pay for that? Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you don't know? See, but I'm always on what's happening with my money, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm on it with the servers, and given the fact that the server tipped themselves, I was aware. Had you seen it, but I hadn't asked, Shelley, then I would have definitely 100% appreciated you telling me that, addressing that server, because I didn't see what that person did. But always ask.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good point for our listeners today to remember. It is about asking. It's about kindness as well.
It's right? About like, kindness, but it's always about consent too.
Consent.
That's the biggest thing.
Absolutely. Because the reason I asked my question was the fact that I could picture myself sitting in that restaurant and observing that, and I would be getting angry on your behalf, okay? And I would want to say something because, one, either that server doesn't know because they've never been trained and they're ignorant to that, or they just have poor customer service skills. Either way, I'm still angry, right?
Yeah.
And when I see somebody that I feel is being taken advantage of, so that's why I asked. I wanted to hear from your perspective, like, should I have spoken up if I saw that?
Or ask consent, or if the server has walked away and, you want to come up to me and say, I'm wondering if you realize what this person has done. It's a lot better than just interjecting into the conversation. Again, it depends on what's really happening, right?
Right.
Because then you're taking away the opportunity for the person who's blind or partially sighted, or any disabled person for that matter, to stand up and educate and advocate for themselves.
Thank you for saying it that way, to advocate, to educate or advocate for themselves, because I don't know, and I think that's important, me and everybody else who's sitting there, we don't know what you are able to advocate, and we're just jumping to conclusions and making assumptions, which is not a good thing.
I'll give you one example, okay? So I was with friends going to the casino, Because you know what seems to be a problem. I have my guide dog with me. And there was hesitation from the security. No, you can come in here. That was the security. Mm-hmm. Always happens at a casino for whatever reason. I don't know. Okay. And I said, do we have a problem? I'm smiling. I'm like, because I know what's coming. I'm at the casino. Okay. Which, by the way, not a single casino machine anymore is accessible. No noises, no nothing. Can't pull the lever.
They're the flat screens,
it's all
like
flat
the
screen.
Entrance
Boring.
Ones.
Boring.
Yes, exactly.
Not that I'm encouraging gambling, because I'm not.
Okay. Gambling and drinking so far on this
gambling.
Podcast.
Well, right, it's cheap drinks. Are we talking about this? No, never mind. wait till the midnight hour comes. No. Okay, and so the security, the person goes, I know you can go in. I just have to make a phone call. And my friend behind me, this is a guide dog, and she's allowed in, and so on and so forth. You know, the security guard was like, never mind. Okay, so he let me through, the security guard, which he would have done anyway. But I actually didn't appreciate what my friend did. And I'll tell you why. First of all, they raised their voice. Mm. They spoke on my behalf before I even had the opportunity to speak for myself. Good. And I've been a guide dog handler for 23 years. I know how to handle people, how to make them understand, whatever the case. The security person was checking in, probably guaranteed that they were looking for the vest on my dog, my dog doesn't wear a vest, it's wearing a gun, right? But what my friend did was really disabling and debilitating to me. So by the time I got down the escalators and down there, and I turned around, I said, don't do that. First of all, you came off as an angry person. It doesn't make me look good. And that's not how I choose to interact. If I had a problem after I explained to the security, then you, as my friend or any other public member, can stand by me and you know, help to advocate that way. But don't speak before I've spoken. So, right. Anyway, they kind of snorted. They weren't impressed, but whatever. We got over it a couple of drinks later, and that's what happens.
If I can, I want to talk about an experience I had with you. Not at a bar. We were eating out at a very reputable restaurant. But and I'm actually going to name them because I was really impressed by this. And where we're talking about proper training, and because you and I've had conversations before where you've gone to restaurants and fully been denied entrance because you have hope with you, yeah. Which I get quietly enraged because, yes, I don't want to get enraged loudly on your behalf, but it did bother me, of course. But you and I went and had dinner at, I believe it was the Agricola Street Brasserie once. And the waitress who took us in was great. And obviously there was no hesitation going in the restaurant with hope. That was completely fine. And, you know, a couple tables kind of raised an eyebrow, but everyone was, you know, thankfully silent and nobody decided that they needed to be involved in something that didn't concern them. Yeah. But when the waitress sat you down, she explained where everything was on the table immediately without being asked to use the clock face as well to tell you where everything was around your plate. And then she described, and this has stuck with me since, she described the special that night. And when she was talking about the chicken, she said, it's about half the size of a deck of cards. And I was so impressed. She had everything right away. It didn't take her a second to switch into, how can I describe this in a way that is going to be as clear as possible to you? And she didn't hesitate for a moment. I was really impressed by their training there. Is that something, do you find, is becoming more common, or do you find training is just a constant issue with staff?
I remember. So the truth of the matter is that lovely server, I had been in there before. And while from the get-go, on from the first time I'd run into to this person, they were already semi-knowledged and over the times going into the brasserie, right? I was a repeat customer, so this person was up to par. Mm-hmm. But they already had that initiative to begin with, and, you know, how do I best assist you? So service like that, you know, I come across maybe 1 out of 20 where they're, your glass is over to your right hand or whatever. Speaking of Agricola Brasserie, Brown Hound, they're great. I don't know, maybe because it's a small place, they're afraid the blind person's going to knock over the good beer. The glasses on the left. But whatever's happening at the Brown Hound, they're phenomenal. Really, you know, I don't feel, I have to explain, you know, what I'm asking, whatever. And then you go to other places and people are completely, you know, gobsmacked. Oh, my God, it's a person who's blind. How do they walk? How do they breathe? How do they talk? You know, it's stuff like that. So there are people. I think the more advocacy and education that is happening in public and what's happening with disability communities and, you know, this whole accessibility by 2030 kind of BS, but it's all out there, you know, and it's all still working baby step by baby step in educating people. And if they don't know that they're asking. So there is work out there that's being recognized, and there's people who are doing, and then there's people who are completely ignorant and belligerent to what is happening with people with disabilities, all people with disabilities, right? Not just the ones who are blind or partially sighted. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say, I want to go back, as Blake, you started with the Jane's Walk.
Yeah.
Which I've done for 3 years. I didn't do one this year.
We should just explain briefly what the Jane's Walk is for people who might not know, too.
Yeah.
I'll let you handle that. Okay. You're the Jane's Walk expert.
So the Jane's Walk is oh my gosh, and the last name for Jane is failing me right now because you put me on the spot.
I'm going to look it up while you're doing this, don't you?
Yeah, you look it up. Okay. Yeah. And we're both going to go, ah. So it's local community residents and you put together a walk on history or whatever the case may be. And you take your neighborhood people around. And this happens all across North America, right? From our neighbors to the south of us.
Never heard of them. Continue.
Hey, I got some good civilized friends in the U.S., okay? Civilized.
They still exist.
Big word, civilized, okay? And then in Canada as well, I believe Toronto actually has a two-day Jane's Walk event. And so I have participated in Jane's Walks. You learn a lot. You can learn about art, history, culture, et cetera, et cetera. So I led for 3 years just, hey, come take a walk on the blind side, you know, and we talk about myths and falsities about people who are blind and partially sighted. You go under blindfold, and we have done about an hour and a half, generally runs 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Well, we're walking through the neighborhood, and I like to take people through the construction zones in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot,
mentioned. Well, you can't cross an intersection, or if you've crossed an intersection, and there's a giant hole in the ground that's barricaded, and you know you're in the middle of four lanes of traffic and you have to turn around and go back. Not good.
Yes.
Because there's nothing to align yourself with as a person who's blind and you're walking into traffic. So it really works. And what happens through those Jane's Walks, whether it's 20 people or 40 people, they learn and they're aware. They're aware now and they're looking for things, mm-hmm. and they're doing. And I get a lot of my friends in my neighborhood now, like, oh my gosh, I'm cutting the bushes. Or, you know, Melena, sorry, I didn't move it out of the way, or whatever is on the sidewalk, or whatever the case may be. These things, because I'm tired. Mm. I'm very, very tired. And I have something not pleasant to say after about the blind community population, as I like to say here. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of advocating. I go home, it's just like, it's exhausting. For all people. And there are a few of us who are out there doing the advocacy. In Nova Scotia, because this is where I live, this is where I lost my sight, mm-hmm. But I've traveled around and I've seen much stronger groups. But I find that around here that people bitch and complain, holler and scream. And when I ask them, call 311, address the person, go back and make a phone call, explain to what happened, whatever you want. I'm going to City Hall. Again, HRM staff some of them don't want to talk to me anymore because mm-hmm. I've been in their face mm-hmm. because I had no choice. They put me in the corner. So my community / population, as I like to say, and I'll tell you why, complains. When I say, I'm going to go to City Hall, you just need to show up. Just show up. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do nothing. Nobody shows up. They don't want to sign a piece of paper. They don't want to do anything. And therefore, that leaves the half a dozen of us or dozen of us who are out there advocating exhausted, mm-hmm. depleted, depressed, going to the bar and drinking too much. Let's just stick with the theme here. Okay. And so we formulate, I like to formulate, not work out and to do my alliances and allegiances with sighted people. Mm. I'm going to tell you about it. You're going to go out there. You're going to see it. One of the first things that ever happened was there was a guy wire that was, I'm 5 feet tall. And I went and I nearly hung myself on it, my guide dog, because it hit my neck. Okay. 5 of my friends in the neighborhood said, oh, that guy wire has been hanging across the sidewalk. This was on Yonge Street for a couple of months. I didn't even think about it. Of course, you didn't think about it because the sighted eye looks at you, ducked under, they ducked under and they kept on their, but they forgot Melinda's going to walk here. I'm not going to see it. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're all aware now. Everything they're walking, they're going. And so now I got 5 people at least who are looking for anything that's low hanging. Mm-hmm. And this is how we you know, we get these alliances and legions. Again, I really have to be strong in saying this. You as an able-bodied person or as a sighted person can advocate on my behalf, but do it nicely. It is for me to lose my shit. Because if you're losing your shit, then it doesn't look good, right? Mm-hmm. To say, I have a friend, or I have somebody who's blind or partially sighted, someone who uses a wheelchair. I don't know. Pair it with a stroller, right? So you're not living it. You don't know the full experience, but now you know, and you're part of my team. Mm-hmm. I call them my Melinda Mafia. Yeah.
it's true. I think that when I think back to it, and you may disagree with this, but when I think back about 20 years ago, where we're talking about national accessibility and whether we'll actually be where we're supposed to be at 2030. That is, I
bullshit.
Still, exactly. but I still play in the game, right?
Yeah.
But I think 20 years ago, people didn't talk about it. There was, there was not, when I think from an employer's perspective, there was not a lot of talk about it. I do feel, in what I'm seeing, that there's at least more people talking about, so that's creating more of an awareness. Not enough, but you got to start somewhere. Like you said, in your neighborhood, you got to start with the 5 people, which, was reminding me of a situation this winter in my neighborhood. They were not plowing the sidewalks down to, they were leaving these huge lumps and bumps.
Yeah.
And we have somebody who is in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And he was stuck on this bump when we went by on the car. So my husband and I had to get out and we asked if he needed help. Obviously, he did need help.
Yeah.
And then I didn't just leave it there, right? Yeah. I suspect that he probably called himself, but I didn't ask, right? But we called ourselves, okay, to make a complaint that this was not acceptable on the sidewalk. And later that day, I saw them out there leveling it down. And I noticed that after that, and then I was talking to our counselor, who I just happened to know, who said that they made some training for those drivers to make sure that they, and explained why it needed to be leveled right down to the, to the thing. So again, while it was very unfortunate for this person, okay, but now maybe we've created some advocacy, some training, and maybe that's only 3 people, but that's 3 more people than there were the day before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it is a big, your talk about advocacy, it is a big thing that needs to continue.
This is why I'm really happy that you're going into schools to talk about this, because I think you talk about people going on the Jane's Walk and suddenly it occurs to them to keep an eye out for these obstructions and for things that they can actually make a change on. Getting kids to pay attention to that stuff is brilliant because that's going to stick with them for life.
Yeah, right.
What I would love to see, and I'm curious if you have any resources you can recommend for this, is I'm thinking back, I spent many years working in customer service right up until about 5 years ago. Never had a minute of training in how to assist someone who is blind or partially sighted or has any sort of disability. It did not come up. If someone came in with a disability and I did not know how to best help them, we would have to figure it out together because it just wasn't addressed at all.
Yeah.
I think that is insane, honestly, when we live in a province with the highest rate of disabilities in the country.
Yeah.
We're definitely missing a big gap there. Where would you recommend someone who's running a business turn if they want to get proper training for their staff, specifically on how to better assist people who are blind or partially sighted? Or is there somewhere that exists that you would
call
recommend?
Me? I need the money.
Perfect.
So I can go to.
Listen, we're into plugging businesses on this podcast.
That's absolutely,
absolutely.
Right.
You contact us, we will send you to Milena right away. That is no problem.
Good question. You know, you can look on. Kind of rolling my eyes, but you can look on the CNIB national websites. There is something called Clearing Our Path. There's plenty of YouTube videos on how to guide a person who's blind or partially sighted. Or, you know, call in whatever organization that you feel, you know, and I'm, yes, and we're speaking of, you know, blind or partially sighted, but call it in to whatever rehabilitative organization or whatever the case may be, and say, could I get some training in from my staff? And I'm sure, you know, CNIB would go in and do that. I definitely will, and I do. And again, I'm, you know, self-employed, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I think this is an absolute plug that we need to be. Yeah.
Honestly, I was just about to say, what's the best way for people? Yeah. Is there somewhere where that you can give out on the podcast that people can get in touch with you through, or would you rather they just call Reachability and we send them to you?
Call Reachability.
Perfect. Yeah, I will happily be the gatekeeper for those calls.
You know, I'm pretty cute and hot. I don't want all sorts of phone calls.
Listen, I didn't want to say it because it seemed like
a... I can appreciate that, right? Totally, I understand
to it. It's
that.
Very true.
But you also talked about some training that you're doing, that you were doing before you came here, was to the bus drivers, like the new bus drivers.
Yep.
I think that, okay, is something that for employers, okay, or employees, okay, that can talk to their employers,
yep,
that is a great training opportunity. And I talk about this all the time with my clients, is having somebody in to train your people with the lived experience,
yes,
of mm-hmm, what you're trying to portray to your staff. So, yes, like, you know, they're trying to, I'm sure they have, Halifax Transit has policy after policy of, yes, of how to deal with people, okay?
Yeah.
But actually having somebody who's blind or partially sighted do the training, yeah, on that, okay?
Yeah.
Is going to stick with those people much more than if Shelley, the able-bodied person who can see all the people,
yeah,
is up there telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, yeah, stop talking, Shelley. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a great thing, and more employers should be doing this.
Mm-hmm. I have to say something here. Because I'm very glad that you're saying, you know, and I've been saying this, you must have, no matter what, the person with the lived experience come into the presentations. It is more impactful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Shelley and Blake, you can go in and you can talk and you can say and you're getting it, right? But then what happens, and I've done many presentations, I also have for 25 years co-facilitated training, VisionMate training, and those are one-on-one, kind of like a buddy with the CNIB for 25 years. I'm 30 years blind, okay? What is happening, what I've been seeing in the last, I'd say, let's say, decade, and CNIB is a culprit as well, okay? They have sighted staff. We need sighted staff. Or let's say in an organization for autism, they have able-bodied people, whatever the case may be. And what is being forgotten is the able-bodied people are going and doing these presentations without the client. Mm. So I've been getting quite frustrated, actually angry, because frustration and anger are two different things. But I'm at the point of anger where what's happening, and I will call CNIB out, you know, they're doing presentations on people who are living with sight loss without the person who's with sight loss with them. The importance of having the person with sight loss when you're doing a presentation as a seeing person, as an able-bodied person, is I truly feel in 30 years of being blind that when I'm in the room, it opens up the opportunity to the people who are there to learn to ask.
Yes.
And they're like, and when they're asking all around the groups, people are nodding. I'm nodding my head now too, right? People, yeah, I didn't know. I was afraid to ask. So, yeah. or I have a stupid question. And, you know, there's never a stupid question. Okay. So, and then one person opens their mouth and they're asking another person. Because an able-bodied person or a seeing person doesn't understand. And I've said this to staff. at CNIB. I'm a long-time volunteer with CNIB. I will be so until they decide to get rid of me, which potentially this might happen after this, but I really don't care, right? So what happens is, and I've had it out, and some of the staff at CNIB are my very good dear friends, and they've interjected when we're doing presentations. No, that's not true. And I said, here's the situation. You and I are friends. I'm also a client. I'm talking to you as a client. Do that again. Speak on my behalf while I'm there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a problem with you, okay? You want to take this into our friendship? That's your problem, because I really don't have a problem drawing the very big line between we are friends, and when I'm the client and you're the staff, that's that. My beef with you as a staff, that's that. What I've explained to them when we're leaving after a presentation and such items have happened is this. You may be working with clients who are blind and are partially sighted 5 days a week, whatever the case may be, or with whatever organization, okay? But you go home, and I'm going to say this. You laugh, you cry, you have sex, you raise your children, you pick up that dog shit, sighted. I go home and I do all that same, but I'm blind. You have no idea what's going on in my life at the end of the day when you and I part.
Correct.
From the office. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. So what you see while you're there helping or training or doing rehabilitation services is not what is happening when we go home and when we're living. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here gesticulating all over the place for those who care, because if we're talking to people who are blind and partially sighted, you should know what I'm doing, right? So... And it hits, it has hit a quite a few people, because at that point I'm pretty angry and I'm raising my voice at my friends, at the staff. They don't know. They have no idea. They've done a little bit of training, rehabilitation. Good for them. Pat you on the back, right? Mm. So, but you don't know when I go home. You have no idea that once in a while I forget to close my cupboard and I walked into it. Shit, that hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Oh, my brother and his husband come home from England, whenever, as I mentioned before, right? And we're having drinks, and those two fools are sighted. They leave their wine glasses around, mm-hmm. go to bed, and there's Melina knocking things over. Not because I'm drunk, because I'm whatever I'm doing.
Well, that is a bit suspect after the conversation.
I was going to say, it's not just
liquor. No, that's a different podcast, Melina.
That's a different podcast. That's generally in the morning when I'm looking to clean up stuff, right? And I'm like, put your stuff away. Right?
I do want to back you up on, I want to back you up and add something here, too, because... having been to your presentations before, yeah, there is a massive difference with someone who's actually got the lived experience. Of course, it lowers that barrier. It lowers your fear of asking questions. You're particularly good because you're also very funny, and that lowers barriers so much faster. Like, there's talk about stupid questions. One of the first things I said to you when I saw you the second time was, it's nice to see you again. And I immediately thought, shit. And then I overheard you saying to someone else on the Jane's Walk, you're like, for heaven's sakes, don't police your language. I'm going to say it's nice to see you too. That doesn't make anyone feel awkward. Yeah. And like, unless you're talking to a blind or partially sighted person, you have no fucking idea. And most of us, most people don't have 6, 7, 8, 9 blind or partially sighted friends they can ask about this. Yeah. So
it's very true.
It's enlightening, but it really does lower the barrier. It makes it a much more comfortable experience.
You were talking... Melina.
I'm not a millennium yet.
I know.
I don't know what I am.
Don't even try the last
one. As soon as I said that, that was like, I'm like, well, she's not like 1,000, like 1,000.
Okay, at least you didn't call me Melania. Oh, my God.
No, listen, I'm just proud I nailed the last name. Thank you very much.
Far away from that. We flipped a coin on who was going to introduce you, and I won, so Blake had to do it, because I was like, I'm going to not get that name right.
It's anyway. Okay, Shelby.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
I wanted to come back to, like, you know, an experience that I had, right, as a sighted person, right, at CNIB. And I was taking my mother there, who had lost her sight, or was losing her sight because of macular degeneration, for some rehabilitation training.
Yep.
And session one, we're sitting there, and the person who's training her, or supposed to be talking to her, is fully sighted like I am.
Yeah.
Right? And she's talking to me.
Yes.
And we're not even 2 minutes into this session, and I'm like, oh, we just need to stop right there. you're talking to me. Mm-hmm. We're here for my mom's rehabilitation.
Yeah.
So I think you need to start thinking about this from a non-sighted person, because that is why we're here. Otherwise, I would have given my mom the training herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she was very slighted by that. And then, so as a result, it became very uncomfortable and awkward to do for that training for my mom.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, it's why, you know, I've been very, and this was quite a number of years ago, and it's why I've been very big advocate from this whole lived experience, like for employers, right? Having people come in and do training, okay, that have lived experience, right? Like, you have no idea. Like, I've not walked a mile in your shoes, although they are very nice shoes. We can talk about that offline. But I've not walked a mile in your shoes. I've not walked 1 minute in your shoes. So who am I to stand up and speak on your behalf? Which is why I'm also asked you some questions. Like, should I have advocated on your behalf? Should I have done this?
Well, right. But you are doing the right thing. So, for example, the person who was in the wheelchair, you know, and you're calling in, the more calls are going in to 311, the more that the city's going to wake up, because those get recorded and it goes to city councilor.
Right.
And then they if they read the reports, and I'm friends with quite a few counselors as well. So, you know, if they're reading those reports and like, it's not working, what's happening here in the city. I do want to just say, just so it doesn't turn out like we're shitting on CNIB, because CNIB.
No, absolutely.
What you said, still happens, but not with the rehabilitation crew, because again, they're not part of vision loss rehabilitation. And there are a whole other system uncovered by MSI. So the fact that how many years ago that whoever was there when you were with your mom was speaking to you was completely wrong and intolerable, that's not happening any longer.
Okay? Which is a good thing.
Which so is a very good thing.
Yeah. That's a positive.
Yeah. And they forward. You know, and they do, there are people there who get it and they do great work. But more and more, I think... And this is sad to say that I think people are taking jobs at organizations for disabilities. They're taking them as a job. Mm. Very few are invested in why they're there.
Hear, hear, absolutely.
Right? And that is really bothering me a lot. I see it happening across the board with many organizations, you know. I'm all for you for advocating for me as well. When, like I said, do it in the proper way. You know, when you're noticing things, got a friend, got whatever. And, you know, I know a person in the wheelchair. How are they going to get over this, what you have here on the sidewalk? You need to pave your driver that's going across the sidewalk because this is a potential tripping hazard for all people, right? Mm. Or something that's sticking out or whatever. That's advocacy from you, on my behalf, on behalf of everyone, actually, right? Because even folks today walking around with earbuds in their heads, mm-hmm. walking into waters and poles, mm-hmm. and they're sighted, and they're like, "Oh God," right? Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
But it shouldn't be me that's going to Construction Nova Scotia, you know, and saying, "Hey, we need temporary sidewalks when you're closing three blocks of sidewalk on where there's four blocks, and where am I supposed to go in the middle of the road? Somebody sighted may be able to walk the street with the car. Can't do it. Person in a wheelchair can't do it. Yeah. Elderly people with walkers can't do it. Parents with strollers shouldn't be on the road.
Right.
At all, right? So we're advocating for one another, and this isn't building alliances and allegiances. The last part on this one, what I do want to say is... thanks for having me here, by the way.
It's lovely to have you here. We've talked about this for a long time.
Is that, you know, I sit on enough advocacy groups, and I'm in my third term of Active Transportation Advisory Committee. One of the things that really bothers me is other disabilities speaking on behalf of other disabilities. Mm. So, for example, if I'm going into a restaurant, whatever, and there's a couple that I like, right? And I'm like, have a friend who's in the wheelchair. There's no way they're going to get in here. So I'll say to the owner, I say, I got a friend. How are they going to get in here? Oh, you know, well, we don't know if we can do anything. I'm like, well, you got to find a way to do something because you're losing business because my friend in the wheelchair has a lot more money than I do. Right. And so here's what needs to happen. But before you go and do any renovating, talk to wheelchair users and at least 5 or 6 and ask them what's going to best suit them. That's to me advocating for my friend who uses a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Friends. I'm not going to tell them I'm not in the wheelchair. I don't live it. What I have been finding, and this goes on to, I'm going to bring in a couple of things here. Hope you don't mind. No. Rick Hansen certification. Great initiative. Fabulous. But there are too many people, too many HRM staff, too many other people with disabilities running around. I have Rick Hansen training. I'm certified. Blah, blah, blah. They're so great. I'll tell you what the problem with Rick Hansen certification is. To this day, it is still not covering anything that blind and partially sighted people need. Mm-hmm. It fails. That's not what it was meant to do. It's not what is there to do. And so every time a person is waving that certificate in my face, I'm like, oh, yeah, you gave this building this? Or you gave this building that? Or you gave this place that? What about the high contrast that's supposed to happen for people who have a partial sight in this entire glass frontage that a person's going to walk straight through that glass because they can't tell? You need some sort of a decal on the glass so the person with some sight can tell that this is a piece of glass because the entire building is glass frontage. Mm-hmm. You can't tell. The sun's shining. I've seen it happen. See, I said, I've seen it happen. No pun intended. Okay, pop the eyes out, all right? But that infuriates me more than anything else. And I've had people in advocacy groups who think they know what I'm going through and what I need. And, you know, and they're saying, and I said, don't do that. You don't know. You actually don't know. I don't know what it's like to walk with a walker. I don't know, you know, what it's like to whatever. I know what I know for what I live. And even I don't know 100% because I'm completely blind. So people with partial sight, I'll say it and I know what I'm supposed to be talking about. Make sure you have high contrast. Make sure that, there's tactile warning indicators at the top of a stair. So on that goes to benefit everybody. But I'm still not living the life of every blind or partially sighted person. Mm-hmm. But I know my shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know the shit of somebody who has cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. And I'm not going to talk about it. But I will tell the business owner or wherever I am that talk to these people and do not proceed without having a conversation with at least 3 or 4 or 5.
Right.
I think we've got a lot of really good advice in this episode. If we can boil it down for a conclusion here, I think first-person voices, as many as you can.
Yeah.
Don't assume that you know someone else's lived experience. Be kind. Look out for other people if you can. And ask for consent. Don't jump in where you're not wanted. And those seem to be the biggest things we can do. I'd also like to remind everybody, too, if you really can't find it in your heart to advocate on behalf of other people, just because you don't have a disability today, if you're lucky enough to live a long life, you will most likely have a disability. So be selfish about it. Advocate for your future self who is going to need this, if that's the line that it's going to take for you. But I think you've given people a lot of good places to start. I think you've been more than entertaining enough that we're going to have you back again in the future on a future episode. Thank you very much.
Can I say that I love vodka and tonic?
You certainly. I don't know if you could have finished the episode without saying it. The last thing I want to say is that it was Jane Jacobs was the name.
Jane Jacobs, neither one of us
were able to come up today. So if you're looking for Jane's Walks, you can just go and search for Jane Jacobs, Jane's Walks in your neighborhood. There's lots happening in Halifax.
It's already passed this year. It's the first weekend of May, generally. So next May, keep an eye out.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to plug or let people know about before we let you go today?
Blind people have sex. We drink, we party, we cry, we scream, we yell. We're all the same.
If people hadn't guessed that before this point in the interview, they have not been listening.
Give it. I know there's no camera anyway, but I gave a description, a bit of myself. Describe yourself.
I was wondering if we should have done that at the start when you gave yours too, but then we got into the conversation so fast. So, okay. Cool. I am a 5'6" white male. I'm looking quite good. I've been going to the gym lately. I'm feeling quite good about myself. And you'll have to, actually, if I can take your hand for 1 second.
Yeah.
This is new. Oh. I buzzed off all my hair and you can feel it now.
Oh, he's good. Now I'm feeling, I thought he had a headband on his head.
But oh, I do have a little headphone headband. Oh, sadly, does. Not bejeweled or fancy
what
looking.
What color are your eyes?
Oh, yeah, my eyes are blue.
Blue eyes.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever talked about that before. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Shelly.
So I am 5 feet tall, and I
well, a bunch of giants
I've
around here.
I've eaten too many desserts. That's what my body looks like. I am white female, and I usually wear very funky glasses. Today they're like a clear kind of white shape on my large brown eyes and my very short brown hair that is covering the gray that should be there. And I'm wearing silver earring hoops with a little heart necklace that matches, and I'm wearing navy blue with mauve. Those are my favorite colors.
You can't neglect the nails.
And my nails are two different shades of every opposite nail is a light pink and a dark pink. One of them has a little magnolia painted on it for the nice spring summer weather.
Oh, the pictures you put in my head. I love it. Thank you.
Exactly. Shelly's clearly the fashionable
advocacy.
Host
there
on this
yeah.
show.
And I'm very matchy-matchy, so like you can assume that everything, when I tell you that I have navy and pink on, mauve on today, everything matches.
The glasses are usually color-coordinated to the sneakers, which I always appreciate a lot. So.
God, I love it. You're like a streak of beauty in all this gray.
Listen, we're all streaks of beauty in here, okay?
Right,
that's
exactly.
The most important lesson to take away from today.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Within Our Reach. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next episode. If you have an idea for an episode topic you'd like for us to cover, or if you'd like to join us as a guest on the podcast, reach out to us at withinourreach@reachability.org. Thank you for listening. Milena, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.